Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. He always gives me a big thumbs up. Ready to go here. We are live on this Friday, November the 20th. Less than a week to go now, really, before Thanksgiving and the holidays. Folks, I don't know how ready you are, but it seems like the holidays really crept up on us this year. We are live noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We're streaming and podcasting the show on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we have all of our programs archived since we began this radio project, which will be coming up our five-year anniversary on January 3rd. So time has flown by. Our media partners, thanking them today, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and the Southern Arizona News Examiner, all supporting the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon with United States Representative Ann Kirkpatrick, a Democrat representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District. Congresswoman Kirkpatrick has announced she is a candidate running for the United States Senate from Arizona. Joining me in studio to question the Congresswoman, Sarah Garrett Gasson is here, columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Jim Nintzel also with us in studio. Jim is senior columnist for the Tucson Weekly. He's host of the Sunday morning TV show Zona Politics. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and we're trying to do the Twitter thing as well at Buckmaster Show. Let's, first of all, Sarah and Jim, thank you both for being with us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
All right. Congresswoman Kirkpatrick with us on the live line from Washington. Congresswoman, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm good, Bill, and hi, Jim and Sarah. Just landed in Phoenix, so I'm back on Arizona ground, and boy, does it feel good.
I bet it does. It was a big day. It's been a big week in Congress. The House of Representatives approving a measure to effectively suspend all refugee resettlements from Syria and Iraq. You have put out a very strong statement in opposition to that. You voted against that measure. Why did you vote against the measure?
Well, Bill, first let me say, as a mother and a grandmother, I'm absolutely heartbroken for the victims and their families in Paris. These were barbaric attacks on innocent people, and we in this country know all too well what it means to be under attack. So, first, we all stand with France against this brutal violence. And, you know, ISIS is a threat to our national interests, but also to our allies. And so we've got to do more to destroy ISIS. In regards to the bill that was passed in the House against my vote yesterday, that legislation set up a false choice between our homeland security and our core values as a nation. And you're right, I did issue a very strong statement about why I was going to vote against that legislation.
Well, those that did vote for the legislation saying, in effect, that those who voted against it, like yourself, are in effect taking responsibility if the refugees who are resettled in this country do go on to commit a terrorist act.
Well, you know, the United States has a long history of providing safe harbor for refugees, and this is not an either-or situation. Our top priority is the safety of the American people, of course, and our refugee vetting process should continue to reflect that. But I will tell you, unlike Europe, our process involves agencies including the FBI, Homeland Security, the Department of Defense. It takes almost 2 years for a refugee to clear that kind of vetting process, and anyone from Syria goes through even a more increased vetting process. So we have a very different system than they have in Europe.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson in from the Star.
Were you surprised that this was the response from a lot of the Republican governors to say no more, and including Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, to say no refugees from Syria and Iraq and in our states and in Arizona, just no more refugees at all? Were you surprised by that?
You know, Sarah, I'm looking for real solutions. And you know, there are a lot of talk out there, and certainly Donald Trump right now has said some really very concerning things. But I don't think that's where the American people are. I think they really, you know, they want real solutions. That's where they think we stand. And you know, in my statement yesterday, I mentioned that, you know, if we are going to be the country that is the beacon of hope and opportunity, then we can't succumb to fear and paranoia. You know, we've always welcomed these huddled masses yearning to be free, and that's who we are.
You know, Congresswoman, aside from the refugee situation, Congresswoman McSally is talking a lot these days about the dangers of ISIS and the way they are spreading their hate across different areas of the globe, and the concern about lone wolf actors or people in this country who might sympathize with ISIS. And she's saying the Obama administration is really not doing enough to address this growing threat. Your thoughts on that?
I'd like to see the president respond with more urgency. We need to do much more to destroy ISIS, and you know, that includes increased airstrikes, no-fly zone, arming and supporting our allies, enhancing intelligence. But I am not ready to send our young men and women into Syria as troops on the ground. We need a comprehensive strategy in place, and the president must consult with Congress. I want that debate, if we're considering that, because I want the voices of the American people to be heard. They weren't heard when we went into Iraq and Afghanistan, and they deserve to be heard, because it's their children who are going to be called to go over there. Now, we did just pass the defense bill, and I voted for it in the House. It has a requirement that the president put forth a comprehensive strategy to defeat ISIS.
And what about domestically? Is there a concern on your part that we are going to see people who are sympathetic to ISIS striking out here in the United States?
We have to always be vigilant. You know, in this day and age of, you know, computer communications and, you know, in the digital age, we have to be vigilant. And I've always said that, especially we've got the southern border in Arizona. And, you know, I served on the Homeland Security Committee, so I've always said that, you know, we need to make sure the Border Patrol has the proper resources they need. But this is an issue that has multiple answers. One of them is passing comprehensive immigration reform.
I want to bring up what Senator McCain, you could be running against Senator McCain. He will have a primary. He's going against State Senator Kelly Ward of Lake Havasu City in the primary. But if he survives that primary and you survive your primary, you could be going up against Senator McCain, who is calling now for 10,000 troops, 10,000 boots on the ground in Syria. He made that remark in an exclusive interview with The Hill. You're saying at this point you are not for sending troops in.
Look, I respect John McCain's service, but he and I disagree on some pretty important things, and that's one. If we are deploying ground troops, and that is a serious consideration, then the voices of the American people must be heard. And that's a debate that Congress has to have and that we have to vote on.
Okay, here's Sarah.
What are you hearing from your constituents about this and about the refugee situation? Because do you anticipate this continuing as an issue into the campaign as it really heats up?
We're getting a lot of calls, of course, and emails, but overwhelmingly supporting my choice to vote against that bill yesterday. People are concerned, but they want real solutions. So, you know, they don't want sound bites. They want, you know, what are we going to do about this? What kind of action are we going to take? And as I said, we have to destroy ISIS. We have to fix our broken immigration system, and we have to strengthen our southern border.
More Mexicans leaving than entering the United States. I think that's a big story.
I just heard you report that. That's the first I'd heard of that. Yeah.
I think it's a huge story. It came out of the Pew Research Group for the first time in more than four decades. More Mexican immigrants are returning to their home country rather than coming to the United States. So I think. As the head of this particular group that did the report at the Pew Research Center said, the nature of immigration itself is beginning to change. It looks like Mexican migration is at an end. That's what the Pew Research people are saying.
Yeah, that's an interesting study. I'd like to get get my hands on that and take a look at it.
All right. Carl has called us at 790-2040. Carl, you're with Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick.
Yes, a couple of questions. I understand that the United Nations Commission for Refugees plays a major part in deciding who it is that comes into the United States. And my understanding is that most of the leaders on that are from the Muslim countries, and perhaps as a result, not as a larger percentage of Christians are coming in as Muslims are coming in. And the other thing is, I have absolutely no issues with three-year-old children or widows coming into the United States. But from these things that I have seen, 75% of the immigrants trying to get into Europe are basically fighting age men rather than families. And so is there anything being done to try and balance this so you've got actual families rather than the possibility of terrorist operatives, and trying to balance this with the Christian population versus the Muslim population?
Okay,
and Carl. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay.
Carl, thank you. Today the Syrian and Iraqi refugees, as well as all refugees of all nationalities to the United States, undergo the most rigorous and thorough screening and security vetting of any category of traveler or immigrant to the United States. So in stark contrast to the situation in Europe, the U.S. screens all refugees for 18 to 24 months before they set foot on the U.S. soil. And that includes fingerprints, background checks, medical screenings, lengthy interviews by multiple agencies, the National Counterterrorism Center, the FBI, Homeland Security, Department of State, Department of Defense. So we have many, many layers to that process. But I have to tell you, I disagree with the religious litmus test. That's been adopted by some of the Republican presidential candidates. And honestly, I think it's absurd. I think it's un-American. And this is a time for leaders to be reasonable and responsible rather than reactionary.
And just to kind of follow up there, Carl was wondering about, he felt it was 75% of the people that he saw. I don't know where he got that figure.
I have some numbers that my staff provided me with. Since October 2013, about 2,200 Syrian refugees have been admitted to the United States. Mm-hmm. Half of those were children from families driven from their homes by this savage war in Syria and ISIS's brutal rule. And a quarter were adults over 60.
Okay.
And I think Carl was also referencing Europe.
Okay. Jim,
and I think it's important that we make the distinction between the European system and the United States system.
I got to take a break right here, but please stay with us, Congresswoman. We've got another segment with you, and we have a very full board. A lot of people want to weigh in on this. Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star, Jim Nintzel with me from The Weekly. We'll be right back.
December 29th, thousands of visitors will mean millions for Tucson. With ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits, everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
On December 29th, Tucson's nonprofits will score, with ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits. Everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Every Friday on the show, our bumper music, the intermission music, something from the 60s, going back to my days as a, no, I won't say a flower child, but someone who followed and enjoyed 60s music. Today it's Jimi Hendrix. On
Bill,
yes.
I have to ask, were you a dirty hippie?
Dirty, smelly hippie.
Not dirty and smelly. My hair was rather long, and I did wear sandals, and well.
And what did you drive, Bill?
I drove an MGB.
Convertible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice little car. Cute little car. Anyway, Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick is with us on the Buckmaster Show on the live line. She has just arrived back on Arizona soil. She's up in Phoenix after the flight in from Washington, D.C. Let's see if we can. We have Jim Nintzel with us from The Weekly and Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Jim and Sarah, before we go back to you, let's go to the callers and then we'll let you all comment. Fernando, I think, is up first. No, not Fernando first. Terry is up first. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, first, happy Thanksgiving to you. Hey, Terry. Sarah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Sarah, happy Thanksgiving, and Mr. Nintzel, whatever, and you, Bill. And Ann, how are you today?
I'm good, Carrie. It's Friday.
Well, Ann, I want you to know right up front, I'm a Republican, but I won't count that against you.
Okay.
I want to say this, because you came safely to the airport, that's another reason why we have to be critical. This is a serious matter. This is no joking game here. And we do really have to have who's coming over the border. I'm an immigrant, too. I came from Germany. I left Germany when I was age 5, thanks to my father who was in the United States Army. And so immigration means a lot to me, and I did it legally. So how cool is that? We just need to do better, especially at airports, holidays. If you want to take a plane down, the holiday is the time to do it. So, look, I don't trust anybody on the other side. And here's one more thing for you, Ann. John McCain will win the Republican primary, and he will soundly defeat you.
Okay.
Because I feel this way. I love this country very much, and the risks are very high. America should be red and white and blue and not the black flag in the White House. So that's me. I love this country.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
I think we can all agree that we all love this country.
Yeah. If you'd like to comment on that, otherwise we can go to
sure.
another.
Sure. We have to continue to be vigilant about protecting the border, and that's why I've introduced legislation in the past to ensure the Border Patrol has proper resources. But as everyone knows, there are multiple answers to this.
Okay. Before we go to the next caller, I'm going to bring Jim and Sarah back in, and then we'll go to the next callers. Jim, you had a question right before I said, hey, we've got to take a break.
I just wanted to ask, we've been hearing some bad news about the threat of UnitedHealthcare pulling out of the federal insurance exchanges. We had the co-op here in Arizona closed down. John McCain has been critical of your vote on the Obamacare package. Your thoughts on where Obamacare is at this point, and do these insurers not participating in the market bring you some concern?
Of course it does, and I've always said, we need to continue to make our health care system better. The Affordable Care Act is not perfect, and we need to continue to work and fix it. Certainly very concerned, but I will tell you, Jim, I don't want to go back to the days when people could get kicked off their health insurance for pre-existing conditions and that kind of thing. We need to move forward.
All right, here's Sarah now.
One thing that has come up, I think, and it's a relevant point about going back to the refugees, that whole idea is that if we look back not that long ago, the 9/11 hijackers came in on tourist or business visas or academic visas, including the guy who was here in Tucson for a little while. Is there any talk about strengthening those ways to get into the country? Because those are by far the most the easiest ways, if you wanted to do something bad, to get into the United States. Is there any talk about that?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are a couple things going on there. First of we need to continue to have that discussion. One of the things, Sarah, is that Congress needs to do its job and take up the debate on the authorization of the use of military force. So it's time that we show leadership at home and authorize that ongoing conflict, but that's a fundamental duty of Congress to debate and vote on military action. So that's one piece of it. We are still working with the authorization for use of military force that was authorized right after 9/11. But the other piece of that is, the continued vigilance, but also passing comprehensive immigration reform.
All right, Fernando is up next with us. He called us at 790-2040, and he's a very patient man. He's been waiting quite a while. Go ahead, Fernando. You're on the air.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm somewhat confused, Ms. Kirkpatrick. You just said that we have the most rigorous vetting process, and it takes up to 18 months to vet someone. So that's a lot different than just having somebody come in. What are they going to do? They're going to wait 18 months before they could come in, or wait here someplace and be vetted while they're here? That's one. The other thing is that the FBI themselves and the head of the FBI says that there's no real way to vet people coming in. They can only do so much, but basically it's on the honor system. So I don't really understand, you know, but on the one hand you're saying, we have the most rigorous vetting process, but it takes 18 months. So
we do. We do have a very rigorous process already in place. So it can take 18 months to 2 years for a refugee before they can even set foot on American soil. And so that process includes multiple agencies, the FBI, Homeland Security, the State Department, the Defense Department, and they do fingerprints, background checks, medical screenings, lengthy interviews. An extra level of that screening is also done for Syrian refugees. So we do have a rigorous process.
And just to clarify, I think, Fernando, we were talking about the vetting process for refugees, and then Sarah had brought up something that is really of concern to a lot of people, how easy it is for people to get into this country on a tourist or business visa.
Which is very, very different than coming in as a refugee. Yeah.
That's correct. And there are efforts to strengthen that.
Go ahead, Jim.
Congresswoman, I wanted to ask you about the Sonoran Corridor here. Local leaders are saying this is a vital piece of infrastructure that would link I-10 and I-19 and help improve the transportation around Raytheon, the U of A Science and Tech Park. You've helped get some funding in the transportation bill for that?
Yes, it's a very important project. You know, I'm on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and working very hard to improve Arizona's infrastructure. That is a very critical piece that's going to make a difference to the Tucson community and ultimately move us forward. I mean, my vision for Arizona is building a strong, diverse, stable economy. And to do that, we've got to have solid infrastructure like the Sonoran Corridor.
And from your perspective, what's the best way we should be funding these infrastructure projects? I know there's a lot of debate in Congress about how we're going to fund these highway bills.
Well, that is the $64 question. I mean, we've been debating that and debating that. We're going to be, passing the highway bill, and how do we fund it? And we've offered many, many different ideas and formulas and nothing really has been done about that. I have some frustration about that because in the meantime, our roads and our bridges are continuing to deteriorate at a time when we really need to be maintaining and improving them.
And for the caller who did not want to go on the air but was very confused, we've been using the word vetting. Vetting is synonymous with background. So you're saying it's a very thorough process, Congresswoman. All right, 12:32 here on the Buckmaster Show. Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Sarah. Have a great Thanksgiving.
We wish you the same. Thank you very much, Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our mid-session break here. A little music from Jimi Hendrix will be coming up here on our mid-break, and then we're going to be back with the Buckmaster Show Friday Roundtable right after this.
Hey Joe, gone with that gun in your hand.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Buckmaster Show, our Friday bumper music, the intermission music today from Jimi Hendrix. This was 1967, I think that was. Hendrix first came on the music scene at the Monterey Pop Festival in 1967. And of course, he was infamous for setting his guitar on fire. Remember that, Sarah? You don't remember. You remember
this
seeing.
This happens every week.
I know. I always say, remember that. Of course, you were not old enough to remember witnessing it, but you certainly have seen it.
I am familiar
I know you're much too young to have remembered the incident happening in the 60s.
I remember being in the audience that day.
Yeah,
it
right.
Was spectacular. Yeah. It was kind of a square before he went wild.
Was
he was playing on a lot of very standard bands.
Huh. Toured with the Monkees, I think.
Wow.
Jim Nintzel is here from the Tucson Weekly and Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, editorial writer and columnist. Her work, her column appears every Thursday. And Jim Nintzel, of course, his work appears not only in the Weekly, but on Zona Politics, which airs now Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
Sunday morning is 8 a.m. on Channel 8 on your Cox and Cable. Your Cox and Comcast and your and satellite, we're on Channel 58, and then we're on KXCI FM 91.3. Can I say that on this competing radio station?
Of course. We don't compete with them.
On Sunday afternoons.
They're a community-based radio station.
You can hear the show on Sunday afternoons.
They do really good work over there, actually.
We're having a great time with it.
All right. Sarah, last Sunday, you and your colleagues at the Star, the editorial, urging the council not to appeal the Ninth Circuit ruling on the elections issue.
Yes. What happened, it was a three-judge panel on from the Ninth Circuit Court weighed in to against the city and one dissenting, saying that the bizarre election system the city of Tucson has, where in the primary elections are ward only, but then everyone in the city votes in the general election for wards that they don't live in, saying that it was unconstitutional because people, boiling it down basically, because people across the city are being forced to vote on candidates that they had no role in choosing, so that it's an unequal system and that their votes aren't being counted accurately, and they're not weighted. It's not that they're not counted, they're not equal. So we said that the time has come, and we have supported the ward only, whatever the people wanted to do, but that the time had come, given financial circumstances and all the rest of it, to go to the voters and say, do you want the ward-only system? Do you want for the whole shebang, or do you want an at-large for the whole thing? And also, we think that it's time to go along with what all the other cities and towns in Arizona do and have nonpartisan elections, because it's really easy to just vote D or R, and that it's time to get beyond that, because a lot of what a city council does is nonpartisan anyway. It's trash pickup decisions. It's things like that, just sort of the running of this.
We're a rarity having partisan elections.
We are. Yeah. We are. And sometimes it gets in the way.
Jim?
I would say there is a partisan difference in how you might pick up the trash. The Republicans might like to privatize the entire system, and Republicans or Democrats would like to have their union pals run the system. I think the other problem, and I'm not necessarily opposed to nonpartisan elections, but I think you need to be aware that if you do go to nonpartisan elections, what you're doing is taking away a little bit of information to voters who, let's face it, don't turn out a lot in midterm elections. Turnout tends to range from 25% to 40% in these. They're not even midterm elections. They're off-year elections. The turnout tends to be extremely low, and most voters really aren't looking into these candidates. And I don't think taking away the partisan identification will then lead to people doing a lot of homework. I don't think they'll be like, oh, now I'm going to really study up on this person. They'll just make decisions based on other things like gender or ethnicity or who knows what.
I mean, so what's going to be on the ballot?
Nothing at this point, because the city council or the city charter committee needs to vote to put something on the ballot, to put it before the voters. And our suggestion was to do it in the May special or the May election, because the education funding proposal from the state is going to be on the ballot, and that's something that will get people to vote.
And there's been a couple different suggestions. There's the ward-only suggestion that the court ruling seemed to think you should go to citywide primaries followed by citywide general election, and I don't know that that's even going to be part of the equation. But there was also a suggestion that maybe you have ward-only elections plus some citywide elected candidates, and you expand the council. So there's a lot of different ideas bouncing around out there, and we'll see what happens, and we'll see whether this decision gets reversed by the full panel of the Ninth Circuit, which is entirely possible.
And Sarah, you bring up the May election, which will be on education. I had Diane Douglas, the state superintendent of public instruction, here with me in studio yesterday, and I asked her, "Are you going?" This is the head of the school, all of our public schools. Are you going to be a yes vote on the May election? And she is undecided.
And you know, it's a fascinating decision that. The politics of this, because you have a situation where you have you're really digging into this education trust fund that was supposed to not be dug into in this matter. You're taking a significant chunk out of that, so that instead of growing to the estimates that I saw out of the Joint Legislative Budget Committee showed that, you know, if you leave it alone, it'll grow to about $9 million in 10 years. If you do this, it'll be roughly the same value in 10 years than it is today. And that's, you know, there's a lot of questions about stock market values and how much land you sell. And there's a lot of factors go into that. So these are projections that are it's very uncertain. But if you do leave it alone and those numbers are correct, you'd be getting $180 million out of it every year in 10 years, and that would continue to grow. Whereas if you do dig into it, you're only going to be getting $100 million out of it a year. So there's some pretty it's definitely a short-sighted plan in the sense that you are really kind of eating your seed corn in order to make this happen. And I think a lot of people are really uncomfortable with that. You know, you saw the Republican treasurer, Jeff DeWitt, the former treasurer, yes, Dean Martin, saying this is like, you know, digging into your 401k to pay your bills.
And so it's not a sure thing this is going to pass.
It's not a sure thing. And I think also people need to understand that this isn't some sort of magical new money. This is, as Jim said, money that is earmarked for education, but in the long term, not just to pay the bills today. So there's going to be a lot of talk, a lot of education that needs to be done so people really understand what it is, because here on the surface we have a way to fund education and it isn't that great, but there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, it's like the pension fund is just sitting there sort of attitude. And you know, the education community did agree to this, and they were really boxed in. They want the money now rather than let this court case drag out and have a legislature that eventually says, oh, we don't care what the courts say, we're not going to give you money anyway. And they figured this was their one shot. And I think Ducey's played this politically in a brilliant manner. He gets to like show that he is
doing
somebody who's supporting education. And then they turn around and put the extension of Prop 301 on the 2018 ballot, and he gets to run on that as the education governor, which is his weakest point right now in polling. So it's smart politics by Ducey.
Let's go to the live line. Rick has been waiting very patiently, and kind of off topic in a way, a comment about Jimi Hendrix. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Bill. Good to talk to you. Hey, I just wanted to recall a time in history when Jimi Hendrix played here in Tucson at the what was called at the time the Iceland Ice Arena.
Wow.
East Speedway over there by the Lotus Garden restaurant. This is before he really became famous and hit the big time.
And when was that, Rick?
Well, it had to be 67 or 68, right around there sometime.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I was in high school at Flowing Wells. And our class president at the time, believe it or not, was Chuck Huckleberry.
Oh, my goodness.
Was he at the show?
Do you have photos?
I don't think he was at the show. They were kind of grooming him to be the person that we know today.
Sounds like he was smart enough to get out of politics and into administration where the real money is.
Well, I hear that. But we had a great time. Like you mentioned, you know, your slightly long hair, your sandals, and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I was here.
Now we refer to those as the good old days.
Yeah.
When there was such a burst of creativity and freedom and so forth.
There
I
you
really
go.
Miss those times.
I was and, here. I was here in Tucson.
You were?
Yep, I was an undergraduate at the U of A in the late 60s, and actually, you'll bring up 67. That was one of my first dates, may have been the first date. Went out to High Corbett Field and saw the Doors in May.
Oh, yeah.
May of 1967.
That.
Yep.
I remember that show too.
Oh,
no,
sure you do.
Those were some great times right then. I mean, everything was wide open, and that was before the U.S. government figured out we were having all kinds of fun without cutting them in on the deal.
Okay, Rick, thank you very much giving us a fun 60s memory there. Getting back to kind of the topic of the day, I brought up Sarah and Jim during the interview with Congresswoman Kirkpatrick. She had not really heard many of the details about that Pew Research story, which is really big, that more Mexicans now are leaving than entering the United States.
It is a big deal, and I think it also it affects Tucson, you know, directly, obviously, but also it should remind us that the Mexican economy in many sectors is just booming.
Mm-hmm.
The port of Guaymas, the areas down there are very lucrative, many, many jobs. And that is something that we need to think about as trading partners and with the Tucson community. I mean, go to any store on the weekend and you will see many license plates from
Sonora
and
Sinaloa,
and there is money to be spent, and so I think we need to pay attention to that and change our traditional view of the Mexican economy and Mexicans is coming here, because it's changing.
Christopher Magnus will be our new police chief, Jim. He is coming from Richmond, California, and coming from a department that where he really did cut crime. They had a very high homicide rate over there, and he's thought of as being a real visionary and a thinker when it comes to community policing. Mr. Chief Magnus will start on January 1st.
Yeah, he was in a very... there's a lot of African Americans in that community, and
East Bay in San Francisco area.
In the interests of community policing, he actually posed with a Black Lives Matter sign at a demonstration, and it led to I think a lot of skepticism among members of the police union here, because in some ways the Black Lives Matter group is viewed as an anti-police group, particularly among law enforcement. I don't really agree with that characterization, but nonetheless, he's going to have some challenges, I think, winning over some of his officers on that force.
But I think, and I hope, Sarah, everyone will be open-minded enough to give this guy a chance.
Well, let's hope so. He's certainly done some innovative things at his current job, and I liked that the mayor of Richmond, California, sent out an email saying, you know, congratulating him on the new job and saying that these are big shoes to fill for them because he's done a lot of good things. I think we should keep an open mind. I hope the current people on the force do that, and it will be a test of leadership when he arrives.
And we'll be looking forward to speaking to him. We're going to do a phone interview with him first week of December. I've already touched base with him and made some contacts, and he will talk with us and our audience about what he hopes for the department. Jim Nintzel and Sarah Garrett-Gasson, I hope you both have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families. Thanks a lot.
The same to you, Bill.
You too.
All right. Let's take our break right here. More of Jimi Hendrix. This is Foxy Lady from 1968 at the Miami Pop Festival.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
Bruce Beat.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
John Kaiser.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
Thanks for coming.
Diana Cannon.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Vino.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
You made it.
Bob Logan.
Can I get you anything?
David Sluts.
I thought I just saw you out.
Casey Polipchak.
This is a blast.
Bob Schaff.
Hey, you're...
Burt Williams.
I'm speechless.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Mike Truba.
I know Mike, Executive VP, Commerce Bank of Arizona.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. We're now offering flowers, decor, and so much more. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company, 3619 East Speedway, just west of Alvernon, or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by the arts and recreation oriented community of Silver City. Historic downtown area with galleries, antique stores, museums, lots of fine restaurants, right up against the lovely Gila, the nation's first wilderness. Silver City is just 3 hours east of Tucson and would make a terrific weekend getaway. You can find out about the many places to stay, like Casitas de Gila guest houses and Continental Divide RV Park, by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, the Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist and president and CEO of the award-winning Tucson-based Russell Public Communications. Big weekend, El Tour tomorrow. It's a beautiful late autumn weekend, and that means time to make a happy hour pick.
Absolutely, Bill. You know, I say take advantage of this beautiful day and launch your weekend with an alfresco happy hour at Reforma on the southeast corner of River and Campbell. Now, the Reforma menu is a tribute to Central Mexico. And with that, let me introduce to you the Pig Feet Escabeche, which trots out today with jalapeno and caribe peppers, cumin seed, olives, lime juice, and probably some of the best pig feet you will ever find. Now, I like mine with the Vampiro cocktail with tequila and lime, sangrita, grapefruit soda. They're all on special today for happy hour at Reforma. How can't you like a good pig feet?
And how can't you like a good beer? People in Tucson love a really nice brew, and we've got some good ones, don't we?
Yeah, and with Thanksgiving right around the corner, our friends at Iron John's Brewing Company have just released a lineup of holiday-inspired brews that are beautiful on their own or paired with your Thanksgiving feast. There's a few that caught my eye, including a pumpkin pie ale made with real pumpkins from Apple Annie's, a cherry pie porter made with dried cherries and grape molasses, and a pecan pie porter, which is like a rich and creamy dessert in a glass. Hey. 'Tis the season to be thirsty, Bill, so try some holiday beers this weekend at Iron John's.
You could drink your Thanksgiving right there. Oh, my goodness, Thanksgiving dinner with the brews. And how about grand openings this
weekend?
Yeah,
you know, fans of goodness, that delicious destination for fresh food and pressed juices, are celebrating this week's opening of their second location up on the southeast corner of Skyline and Campbell. Now, in addition to its regular menu of juices and smoothies and salads and wraps, their new location boasts an exciting new dinner menu of burgers and bruschettas and even some main dishes like wild-caught albacore and eggplant lasagna. All this and a full bar brings true goodness to the foothills, Bill. I say you got to give it a try this weekend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Matt. Thanks.
Right back to you, Bill. Thanks.
All right, we've got a great weekend lineup of shows. A lot of variety, including Swap Shop with Charles Heller at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. You can buy, sell, and trade. I've got a whole closet full of ties that I used to wear on TV that maybe I should call up and offer those. Anyway, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content on behalf of our whole team here at KVOI. Doug and Mary Martin, the owners, the operations manager Ray Allen, our producer and fine Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, production ace Jerry Cross, Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great weekend.